Try that. There we go. How in the world do we address us as the Christian community, a generation that's all about me? How do you do that? Whether you're a senior adult or a student, this generation is designed to be about me. My music, my comfort, my convenience, everything about this culture says it's really all about me. And as a matter of fact, it focuses around four basic elements. It's all about my wealth. It's all about my glamour. It's all about my power. And it's all about my prestige. And if it doesn't suit me, I'm out of here. Church loyalty, for example, is at an all-time low because sometimes the church is not about me. And if it's not about me, I'll find a church that is about me. Or if I don't find a church that is about me, I won't even go because it's all about me. You see, we achieve this by being dominant. We're in charge. And we want our needs met. And our selfish ambitions will be fulfilled, no matter what. If my mate does not fulfill my ambitions, what will I do? I'll get a divorce. Because, by the way, it's all about who? It's all about me. In the midst of that, how in the world do we keep a sound mind and a joyful spirit in a me generation? How in the world do we go forward with Christianity? Because Christianity is not about me. Christianity is about God and His marvelous love that's been revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. So for a me generation, Christianity has lost its relevance. Recently, Barna did a study of the things that influence America the most. And Christianity did not even make the list. Sports, celebrities, top of the list. Christianity did not even make the list. When you 50th graduates graduated from this place, and by the way, I thought Bob Elliott was a 1940 graduate. Bob, are you okay with that 56 label? Well, you must have been an old man when you got here. He was. But when they graduated from Union University, if they would have had a Barna and taken a survey, Christianity in America would have been right at the top or close to the top of the list. But it isn't anymore. Because we have said, you know what? If it's not about me, I'm not interested. The greatest indictment on Christianity today is that we sing and that what we sing and what we say doesn't match our soul music. For example, we say that it's all about Christ, when in reality, even in the church, it's a lot about me. It's a lot about meeting my needs. How do you keep that from happening to your generation? How do you live in a me generation without getting caught up in that mentality? Because we're seeing our generation disintegrate in the me mentality. If I have a pain, I want a pill to satisfy my pain. Whatever the pain is, there's a pill for it. I want to share with you this morning just a few minutes. I'm preaching through the book of Philippians at Inglewood, and there are so many powerful statements in that book that we just quote and don't think that much about, all coming out of the same book. But chapter 2, verse 5 makes one of the most powerful statements in all the Bible. It says this: have this mind in yourself, or in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is talking to just ordinary church-going people. They were just like you and I. They'd been saved. Many of you have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they were struggling. They had some disagreements within their church. Not many disagreements today in church, is there, Bobby? I mean, you know, everybody's happy with everything. But back in the first century, there were some disagreements on the type of music you should use and the type of platforms you should have. And we resolved all of them. But they wanted to know, how in the world do we really go forward with the good news of Jesus Christ and have our minds full of joy and excitement? And Paul said a statement: have this mind. Think about things the way Jesus thought about things. I want you to sink in. I want that to sink in. What's your mind on right now? Is what you're thinking about reflective of Jesus Christ? In a me generation, focused on meeting my needs, how does the mind of Christ fit? I want to share with you just four suggestions right out, really, they're actually right out of this chapter and in this book. And I want to challenge you, if you're here today and you're not a believer, I want to challenge you with what transition will take place in your life if you become a believer. How your whole mind will change. If you are a believer, I'm going to challenge you how to deal with things with the mind of Christ in the me generation in which we live. There's four of them. First of all, you must have a submissive mind. That mind must be submissive to God's will and not self-centered. Is that tough? Now, my crowd at Inglewood react to me. Is that tough? Now, that's a yes or no answer. Is that tough? That is really tough. Saying, you know what? Whatever God's will is for my life, I submit to that. For I know when I find God's will and I do God's will in my life, I am going to have a joyful mind. I'll have a clear direction of what God would have me to do. And I am not going to get caught up in my own self-centered, selfish desires. Here's what Paul writes. That Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Our pride is replaced with humility. As we submit to God, we relieve ourselves of all of our pride and all of our personal drives and all of our personal goals and all of our self-centeredness and say, look, I humbly submit my life before a holy God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. I am going to have the mind of Christ who submitted himself to the cruelness of this earth from the glory of heaven. No one has ever done that before. No one will ever do that again. He was safe in the heaven of heavens. He was a part of the creative process. He had gone through and a part of the Godhead that was in the midst of every aspect. And he submitted himself. He surrendered himself to the Lord's will. For those of you who are in the educative process here, you're a student. I'm not as old as this bunch over here. I graduated in 66, a little more of a modern time. But God had called me to be a local church pastor. I've been doing it for over 40 years. For those of you who couldn't get caught up in something like that, nothing could be more fulfilling than a local church ministry. Nothing. It's the greatest calling you could ever have. It's the greatest privilege that God has ever given anyone to be a local church minister of the gospel. But I can tell you a lot of times, if you're not careful, even in the local church ministry, even in the pastorate, you can say, well, you know, here's some of the things I want to do. Here's some of the goals I have. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, you will be submissive to God's will and not self-centered. Secondly, you'll be a servant, not one who is always self-exalting. Jesus, Paul said, Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. The getting will be replaced with the giving. Jesus said of himself, I've come to serve, not to be served. Some of you students came to Union University to be served. You will miss the blessings of your education if you do not, in these years here, learn how to be a servant. If you do not examine your calling of God as to the direction you should go, some of these graduates are teachers, some doctors. I think the most noble place on that list is a pastor's wife. One of the most servant-driven places anyone could ever be called to. Saying, how am I going to use my education for service? Not to serve me, but to serve others. That's the mind of Christ. It never occurred to him. He never thought about the fact, well, how am I going to be served in this? He surrendered himself. He submitted himself as a servant. The third aspect that comes right out of this chapter 2 of Philippians is there is a sacrificialness to it, not a superficialness to it. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. When you have the mind of Christ, You will surrender yourself sacrificially in any area and every area. Our generation is driven by domination. We're going to dominate, but it will be replaced by an obedience to God. The concept that's so necessary in our culture and so void even within the church is the concept of sacrificial service. Just totally giving ourselves up, even to a point of death. We're willing to die in service and submission to God's will. There's a movie now depicting the life of Jim Elliot. When my oldest son, David, graduated from Beeson Divinity School, Mrs. Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife, spoke. She was the commencement speaker. I was just thrilled to be there and hear her testimony of how they never wavered in the fact that it never entered their minds that they may have to sacrifice their lives in the calling that God had brought them to a place of service in a nation, in a community, in a village that had never known Christ. That's where they were called to. And if it cost Jim his life, he was willing to go and willing to do it. And she had no ill will. As a matter of fact, for those of you who've seen it, she went back and served and broke the barrier of paganism and entered in or brought in an era of Christianity. But let me tell you what, that is a great sacrifice. I say to you, if you have the mind of Christ, you will hold nothing back in giving yourself to what God in Christ has called you to do. You'll be submissive to it. You'll be a servant to it. And you will be willing to sacrifice even your life if that's what it takes. But let me give you the good news. You'll be successful. There's never been a failure for one who has submitted themselves as servants sacrificially to the call of God in Christ on their lives. Oh, they thought Jesus was a failure when he died on the cross. But he successfully defeated death and sin and brought victory and vitality to life again. Paul writes it this way: for this reason also God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon Jesus a name which is above every name. So many people live life in panic. Of every generation. What if there's no more Social Security, guys? What if the last check you'll get at Social Security got the end of last month? We begin to panic. And unfortunately, many people in our generation live not with purpose, but with panic. Pastors do it. What if they don't like what we do? They won't come back. What if our church don't grow and they fire me? What will I do? But that's true of every setting of our culture. Everyone lives in panic and frantic, and they don't recognize I have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to glorify God through Jesus Christ. Well, I've got a lot more here. me flip to the last slide. Life is not about me. Life is about Christ. I don't care what vocation you go into. If it's about you, you'll be a failure. You will absolutely not succeed. You will be frantic and panic. Depression in our culture is at an all-time high because so many people have centered their lives around their needs and have missed the blessings and have lost the purpose. I would challenge you, students, to make your life about Christ. Think like Christ thought. Saying, you know what? I can't think exactly like Christ thought, but I know I can submit myself to God's will for my life. And in that process, I am willing to serve as best I know how, sacrificially indeed, knowing that I'll be successful in that process wherever it takes me, wherever I go. What a sad commentary it would be said of your life, saying, well, you know what? I had a great life. It was all about me, meeting my needs. You will miss the mighty blessings God has for you. Greg Thornberry, who is part of our church, and where are you, Greg? Right here. Come up and lead us in a benediction. Good to be with you this morning. Let's pray together.
Will you pray with me? And now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.
You alone hold my heart's fire.